This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's 7 o'clock, Tuesday the 17th of August, and you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning, and joining me in the studio this morning is Philip C. In the meantime, how were markets, Philip? Because I think it's a bit of a red day.
Yes, it was a red day, but actually the Dow and S&P hit record high at up 0.3%, although the Nasdaq was down 0.2%. Now, if you cross over to Asia Pac, it was also, as you said, a red day. Nikkei was down 1.6%. Hang Seng negative 0.8%, although in Shanghai marginally up 0.03%. Singapore was down 0.6%. Back home, FBM KLCI, interesting development, went down quite a bit, but recovered a bit to basically just be down 0.2%.
Yeah, actually, I would have to say the KLCI did better than expectations. Yep. The ringgit actually initially weakened, but it somewhat recovered to the US dollar 4.2370. The currencies are always the first thing that gets hit. But against the pound is 5.8651, and against the Sing dollar is 3.1250. Whether there will be continued weakness over the next few days is going to be a question mark. We have to bear in mind that foreign shareholding for equities is probably at all-time low at 20%. Something we'll be asking Alexander Chia, regional head of research at RHB, at 9:15 later on this morning, so do tune in. But in the meantime, we're going to find out where global markets are headed with Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Good morning, Tony. Thanks for speaking to us again. Now, US markets, despite a bit of a wobbly start, they seem to have recovered. They're at their peaks, and corporate earnings pretty much in line with expectations, although this week I think it's going to be a heavy week for earnings. Now, which direction do you think stocks are set to trade ahead of the Fed minutes that are supposed to be out this week?
Well, ahead of the minutes, I think we'll continue to see more of the same. The Fed's really in charge of markets now. We've seen earnings come in really stellar over the last few weeks, and we'll continue to see that for Q3 or for Q2 earnings. But we're expecting Q3 earnings really to come in a little flat. We've started to see some people say that their revenues are down and to issue some earning warnings. So I wouldn't say before Wednesday, but I would say over the next few weeks, we expect to see more rotations going on. We've seen rotations away from tech over the last few weeks, and we expect to see some defensive rotation in the next couple of weeks. Consumer cyclicals, consumer staples, utilities, healthcare, and so on.
Do you think the stimulus packages that were approved by Congress will add a bit of steam going forward?
Well, I think the infrastructure package is going to take 10 years, really. That's going to be spent over a decade. They're going to claim that it's going to be spent quickly, but it can't really. And so, plus it's less than $500 billion or something like that. So that money trickled out over 10 years or something. I think there's a rule of thumb for infrastructure is kind of, it has a 1.6 times economic impact. So let's say it was $300 or $500 billion, it would be 1.5 times that impact on the economy. So it will have a decent impact. It will just be spent over a protracted period of time. There are the budget cap battles coming up over the next 2-3 months in the US. So there's a real expectation that a lot of the stimulus that the Congress has planned may not necessarily be approved because of the budget cap discussions that are coming up.
Meanwhile, Tony, I want to look at the relationship that between US and China, because we do know that the China themselves are battling the COVID crisis again, and their recovery, the data seems to be faltering in terms of, you know, how strong their economy is. So how related are both these countries?
Yeah, the worrying part about China right now, of course, COVID and a lot of the issues there. But, you know, we're also seeing ports really start to, I wouldn't say close, but really slow down. A lot of the throughput of factories slow down, and it's really concerning. So despite the rhetoric we've seen over the last several years about the U.S. and China, they're really important trade partners, and their economies are really, really tied. So, you know, when we see a dramatic slowdown in China, that affects everybody. It affects everybody in Asia. It affects the U.S. Same when you see a slowdown in the U.S., it affects China. It affects Europe, you know. So we don't want to see a slowdown in China. Seeing the resurgence of COVID and the impact on the economy there is not good for anybody, least of all US. And so we still have a lot of supply chain issues globally, partly owing to COVID slowdowns in China, Japan, Korea, elsewhere, right? So we don't want to see this. We will see restrictions in the US, not COVID restrictions, but restrictions to supply chains because of issues coming out of China again, right? And so this is bad all around. And, you know, we want China to succeed. Everyone wants China to succeed. So it's, you know, they're in a boat together.
But we are in a double whammy, right? China consumption sentiment is at an all-time low. And also U.S. Yeah. consumption sentiment is also registering a drastic drop in August. You know, what does this mean right. for the U.S. dollar and treasury yields?
No, right. So with the U.S., we have inflationary pressure. We have pressure, workforce pressure. It's been hard to fill spots in companies. We also have the central government stimulus is wearing off. And so with all three of those things happening, it's a really rough period for consumers and for companies, okay? So we had what's called the New York Fed Manufacturing Index come in today, and it fell from last month's reading was 43. This month's reading is 18. Anything above zero is growth. So it's still growing, but it's slowed down dramatically. So companies, manufacturing companies, are seeing things slow down. This is because of things like new orders slowing down, shipments are slowing down, orders that are on hold are rising. So consumers and manufacturers have started to feel it dramatically in August.
Okay, and the other thing we want to ask you about is oil, okay, which is related to, you know, consumer behavior. I have noticed that Brent crude is $69 a barrel. WTI dropped to $67 per barrel. It's been 3 days of declines. What are your expectations in terms of oil prices? Is this the beginning of a downward trend?
Well, we've been saying for quite a while that we think crude is kind of range trading for a few months. We saw, I think just today, OPEC announced that they're going to deny Biden's request to increase their output because of, you know, upward pressure on oil prices. So, you know, we think that crude will bounce between, say, mid-60s and low-70s, somewhere in that range for quite some time. If we do see things in China get worse, if we do see more COVID lockdowns and restrictions, then of course we see downside there. So I'm hoping, although the rate of recovery is slowing down, our hope is that it stays positive, okay? That way we'll continue to see pressure on crude prices, but it will be in a range because OPEC still has something like 6 million barrels a day sitting on the sidelines. So they can always come in to add additional resources to reduce prices if needed.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.